Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that you would open it up to us tonight. Give us wisdom and understanding. Let us take your word to heart, Father, and that we will be those that are committed to loving you, to worshiping you, Father. We ask for understanding and wisdom now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me if you... Hello. Did I go off? Okay, hold on. I don't know what happened. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. There it is. Hello? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Whatever. We've got a wonderful sound person. Praise the Lord. We're back. God's good. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, this here in John, I want to talk tonight a little bit about Thanksgiving, and a little bit about praise and worship, because it is this time of year, and I think it's good for us to take a look at some things that the Bible has to say, and what Jesus said about praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. And if that's not a part of your life, you can begin to make it a part of your life. Amen. Because it's good. Some people, how many know that there's some people, the only time they ever praise God is when they come to church. That's the only time. I mean, they may say praise the Lord, they may think, but I'm talking about they don't sit down and on purpose either begin to sing songs to the Lord or to worship Him out of the center of their own heart or their own being. And that's really sad to me because there's only two ways to worship God, either in private, right, or in public, like we are tonight. And we were thanking God and worshiping Him. Worshiping God. Why? Because He is worthy. Hallelujah. Now, thanksgiving, there are a couple of words in the Old Testament and a few in the New. But it says the first Old Testament word I was looking at is yada. And it means to use or hold out the hand, to revere or worship with extended hands. You would extend your hands out. Okay, this is for thanksgiving. Or tawdah is another one, T-O-W-D-A-H, tawdah. An extension of the hand implies adoration. How many think we should give adoration to the Lord? I mean, sometimes we don't realize it, but you know, we lift up our hands. Why? It's a surrender. It's an adoration to you, Lord. You are Lord and I am not. Oh, Father, I give you thanksgiving. I give you thanks. And one other word here in the Old Testament is barak. B-A-W-R-A-K, to kneel. The implication is to bless God. You know, when we kneel, what does that say? The Bible says every, what, knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. If we don't do it in this life, you're going to be forced in the next. It's a guarantee that one day, whether you like it or not, you're going to confess Jesus is Lord. And it is our prayer that you do that before you pass the earth so that you will be with the Lord forever. Amen. And reign with Him forever. You know, we are all going to heaven, but we're not going to be there forever. There's other things God's got planned right here on the earth. You know, a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't that something to be thankful for? You know, I think sometimes in our age right now, today, this time, it seems like we haven't heard too much preaching of the new heaven and a new earth. It brings hope to people. It brings life. You see, our earth right now, I think we should do what we can to help take care of the earth. That's wonderful. But no matter what we do, the earth is under the curse and it's going to decay. It's going to continue to wax. And the Bible says it even groans for redemption, doesn't it? And we need to be thankful and be thinking about that. So we can kneel and bless the Lord. In the New Testament, there's a few words, Eucharist, Theo, I think it is. the Greek word, it says to be grateful, to express gratitude. And then there's charis, graciousness, and also to acknowledge or to agree fully with God, to assent or to acknowledge, to extend the hands, to express gratitude or to acknowledge is what Thanksgiving really is. And we're getting ready here to take some food over to the food bank because why? We're expressing our gratitude to God and we're extending our hand and we're saying, here, we want you to know, we acknowledge that there are others in the earth that need help. We're saying, God, look to Him. He wants to help you. Amen. And we are extensions of that. And so when we give thanksgiving, we're saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You know, there was a time in my life and I thought that was a little extreme to lift your hands or to get excited, even though I did love the Lord. You know, I was young and raised in a church, but we didn't do that in our church much. Maybe a few times, maybe once in a while, someone might get a little excited. Thank you, Jesus. But it is an expression. God said to love Him, what? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our emotion, and all of our body as well. Amen. He said, don't you know you're the temple of the Lord? I'd live on the inside of you. And if we never realize that God enjoys our worship, our thanksgiving to Him. So we're seeing this evening that thanksgiving, to extend the hand, to express gratitude, and to acknowledge God for the things that He has done, that He has given this year. What has He done for us? We're going to have a service on Sunday. I want to remind everybody while I'm thinking about it. But Sunday we'll have an opportunity and you can share what the Lord has done. What is a testimony that He's given to you? What has He done for you? What are you thankful for? And we've got some people that also watch online. We know who they are on our Skype and they'll be watching and they'll be entering in also with us on Sunday. And it's always a good time to hear the things that people are thankful for. What has the Lord done? He provides for us, doesn't He? He said, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And this is a time of year that we think of the harvest. When we have gathered our goods. I grew a garden this year. I got quite a few squash and some tomatoes and some peppers. And you know, these are natural things that we're thankful for. But there are many things that we've sown in our hearts this year. We sow the Word of God, and the Bible says when we put the Word of God in our heart, it will bring forth what? A result. Some 30-fold, sometimes 60-fold, some 100-fold, 100% of the Word of God growing in our heart. Why? Because His Word is filled with power, sharper than the two-edged sword, and we are thankful to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't got to my scripture yet, did I? Well, glory to God. Let's go to John 4. I want to start in verse 24, and then I'm going to back up a little bit. But verse 24 says this. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, here we see that Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, wasn't He? And when we look back a little bit, let's just back up to the seventh verse. And it says here, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or to buy food. Then says the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask me drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman says to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call your husband and come here, come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Now here is this wonderful story, this wonderful truth. This actually is a real lady. She comes to the well. Jesus is there, and he begins to explain to her, there is water that is available to you. There is a life source that's available to you. Well, you'll never thirst again. And she is all thinking about the well. Now, if that's true, why don't you give me some of this water? What is the deal? What do I need? What are you saying? You don't even have anything to draw with. How can you give me this living water? And he goes on to say, and he begins to talk about worship, how some people are saying you need to worship here at this mountain. Others are saying you need to worship in Jerusalem, the place, you know, where men ought to worship. Jesus says, we know who we're worshiping. Salvation's of the Jews. We're worshiping God. We're worshiping the Father. But he begins to say that now, but the hour comes, verse 23 says, and right now is. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking, and he's talking to her, and it seems like he's talking to her, and it doesn't make full sense, does it? To her, she's like, I don't understand. What water are you talking about? And he's talking about the water of salvation, isn't he? He's really saying the hour comes, and now is, when there is going to be a salvation to all men, where all men may worship me in spirit. Out of their born-again nature, they will worship me in spirit and in truth. Because Jesus goes on to say, later on we know, what did he say? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm going to prepare a way for you that where I am right now, alive to the Father, you may be also. He wasn't talking about, hey, he says, hey, I'm getting ready to go to the cross and prepare the way of salvation for all men. And he's telling this woman, if you'll listen to me, I am, you know, she says, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. You see things about me. And he says, well, yes, but there's a time. Now is that time. And she left, didn't she? You know, and he says, hey, now is. You're going to worship in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for that kind of person. See, he didn't have anyone in the earth. There was only one born again person, one person alive to God on the earth, and that was Jesus. He wasn't really born again. He was born alive, wasn't he? Why? Because Joseph was not Jesus' father. God was his father. He was birthed of what? The Virgin Mary. The seed of God had gone into her. The Bible says that there was a body prepared for him. So here we have Jesus, the only one, one life, one person who is alive to God. Now we know that. We saw that, you know, in John 1. He said this is, you know, that he is the Christ. He's the one that has come, right? He said in John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the development of men, the coming forth. His light was going to now reign on the earth, and God's desire is finally coming to pass that he may live on the inside of man and have worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you are born again, you are one of those worshipers that he's been looking for. Oh, hallelujah. How many are thankful that you've been born again? Glory to God. You've been saved. That's something to be thankful for this year. Amen. Always. We've been changed. You've been made a son. You've been made an heir, a joint heir with him. And God's Spirit lives on the inside of you. You are alive to him. Hallelujah. We have things to be thankful for. Glory to God. I could go on my notes, but that's okay. I'm doing good. You know, because we can always. I think most of us understand what it means when we really receive Jesus. You know, when we really talk to him, we become thankful, don't we? Because it is him that comes and changes the human heart. And that's what he's talking to the woman at the well, saying, I am giving living water. Water that's going to spring up into everlasting life. Verse 24 said, this is where we started, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you're born again, you are in spirit. He said, you know, if we've been born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. In other words, just like Jesus' spirit was alive to God, your spirit is alive to God if you've been born again. Or, like it said, John 3, born from above, God is our Father. Hallelujah. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, verse 25, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. I'm he. I'm talking to you. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And so here we see again this woman. She began to understand. She began to see the Messiah will come. And Jesus said, I speak to you, I'm he. And she went out, didn't she? She recognized this man is the Messiah. Now sometimes I believe it was a revelation to her. I don't know about you. But she realized, just like remember when Peter realized, who am I? Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then a few verses later, get behind me, Satan, right? Now, Lord, we don't want you to be taken from us. We're going to protect you. And I believe his heart was true. But how many know And sometimes they were listening to God, and other times in the natural, they weren't yet born again. They didn't really have the full understanding. Even Jesus had said, there's some of these things that I can't tell you now, but I will tell you, and you will understand them shortly. I'm going away. I'm going to prepare that place. And here he is with this woman. So how can we worship him in spirit and in truth? Well, if we're born again, we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And when we worship him according to his word and what he has said and what he has promised, our thanksgiving is to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now here in verse 28, it says, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and began to say unto the men. She began to act her faith immediately. She recognized it and she began to make an action. She went and got it. It's amazing. She went and found the men. I guess she knew more men than the women, but praise the Lord. How many know Jesus loved her? Jesus loves all men and women. He wants them to come to Christ, and he wanted her to drink of that living water. So we are to love the truth above everything. Worship him in truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the spirit of truth. God is truth himself. How many know we worship him by that spirit, in spirit and in truth? Hallelujah. Praise God. John 8:44. I'm going to read a verse over here. And I'm just sharing because I think it's important to see. A lot of times we see this woman at the well, but many times people don't equate and realize, hey, Jesus is really talking to her about being born again. The hour is, now is the time. And now that he has prepared the way, we're in that time. And we are the ones that are giving thanksgiving and worship and praise to him out of our spirit and in the spirit. What did I say? John 8:44. Says this, ye are of your father. It said here, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you aren't believing that. He is saying here, beware, stay in the truth. Satan is the father of lies, isn't he? We don't want to listen to him. He's giving an example here. He's saying Satan is the father of lies. He is a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth with him. And so he does not abide in truth. When you don't want the truth, what is left for us? Only a lie, right? Only a lie. So we are not here to try to teach our experience or what we have, but to teach what God has said, amen? What his word declares. Sometimes people have all kinds of experiences, and we should have experiences with God. And those are good. But really, I'm not here to tell you all of my great experience, but to tell you what God's word says and what his truth is. Because the truth is, if we will worship him, he said, what did he say when we worship him or when we praise the Lord? He inhabits the praises of his people, doesn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when our heart is right, it is acceptable unto the Lord. True worshipers, we worship in spirit and in truth. Our lips and our heart come together as one. We just worship him out of our heart, out of the newness of who we are. And we sing or we speak in connection with our born again heart. If we've been born again, we can trust our heart, can't we? You know, a lot of people say, well, the heart is wicked. Yes, it is. In a sinful person, it's very wicked. It's very deceitful. But when we look to our heart that's been born again, the Bible says that is our spirit. That is the part of us that is alive to God. We can trust that. And we can worship Him. And we can begin to spend time with Him in private worship and in public worship. Oh, hallelujah. Well, glory. So, when we worship Him, we begin to see what the manifest presence of God or the peace of God. Anybody ever worship God? You know, you've got your mind all in torment, right? Where does it say? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. What begins to happen is our mind begins to quiet down. Why? Because if we'll force ourselves to worship Him and think about what we're saying. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we can worship God. Many times we've got songs playing, you know, and you're just singing the song, but your mind's not on the Lord. Anybody ever been there? You're looking across the aisle. Why is she wearing that blue hat today? You know, did you notice her shoes don't match? You know, or something, whatever happened, you know, and we're not, you know, not that we're trying to get distracted, but how many know? Sometimes we do. And when we begin to worship God, we have to decide and make a choice with our mind. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to think about what I'm saying. I'm going to think about what I'm singing. I'm going to think about the words. See, it's not just worshiping Him, but worshiping Him out of our heart with the truth of who He is. A lot of times it can be good to take a scripture even. If you have one scripture, you know, maybe there's something you're dealing with. You need your need met. You know, you have a, you know, lacking peace, right? What does Jesus say? He is what? The Prince of Peace. He said, I bring you peace not like the world does. And to just find that scripture, sometimes I like just take one. Lord, I worship You. You said, Father, You give me peace not like the world. It's a peace that comes from heaven. If you're in lack of peace, worship Him. Verse 2 says this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Oh my goodness, how many know we have an enemy? And normally it's against our soul, isn't it? Our emotions. He wants to get our emotions stirred up. Why? To bring us into torment. To bring us into a place of worry, to bring us into a place where we are not thinking on God and we become unthankful sometimes. Or we aren't thinking about being thankful, are we? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for His worship. That we can take the Word of God and worship Him and offer thanksgiving to Him, which will give us that perfect peace. Now, let's go over here to Ephesians in the New Testament. We were in the New Testament, but we're going to Ephesians here for a minute. Now, here he said that, and then over in Matthew 21, Jesus mentions this scripture, because here it says He's ordained strength, or we can say He has ordained worship or righteousness there, and worship to the Father. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we worship Him, what, in spirit and in truth. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look there for a minute. I'm not trying to preach long. I'm just trying to bring us some truth for Thanksgiving this week. I want us to think about the things we're thankful for, especially for that well of salvation that's in you. Amen. For being born again. You know, we could thank Him, and sometimes I look at my own life and I said, Father, have I really been thankful that You saved me? We are at first. Sometimes we were when we were first saved, but are you still thankful? Do you still take some time out on purpose? Lord, I just want to thank You for saving me. I thank You, Lord, for the day that I bowed my knee to You, Lord. I want to worship You and thank You. I'm so grateful that You didn't leave me out, Lord, but that You came and paid a price for me and made sure that I heard that truth. Amen. Well, glory. Well, verse 17 says this, Ephesians 5, beginning verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things, hallelujah, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So here he is saying, he says, hey, we're not to be drunk with wine, which is in excess. Like on the, remember on the day of Pentecost, what did they think? They thought they were drunk with wine. They went out in the street. Hey, it's the ninth hour of the day. Do you think we've already been drinking this much? No. But they were not. They were very filled with the Holy Spirit. And God was at work. And sometimes when things don't look like it's so orderly in the church, God's at work. We're coming into some of those days. I've seen this in my spirit. I saw a picture of it a few times where I just saw people. It looked like chaos to me. I thought, dear Lord, people were being healed. People were being set free. And one would jump up and run around the building. And as they ran past the wheelchair, they'd jump up and they would start running and dancing and leaping and praising God. And the whole congregation began to erupt in a seemed like a frenzy to me. And it was all godly, chaotic, and then boom, it came down and the sweet, holy reverence of God filled the house and everyone was healed. Everyone. And you see some of these things and they are awesome. And there are things that are coming in the earth. I know the world is waxing into darkness. We've talked about that some here the last couple Wednesdays. But I want us to realize that when we offer our heart, the Bible says, what? In thanksgiving. How? Speaking to ourselves. Oh. How many know somebody that spoke to himself? You ever read about David? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He began to speak to himself, didn't he? And when we speak to ourselves and to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we sing, we make melody in our heart to him. We give thanks always. We are staying filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's really what he's talking about here. It says, but be filled with the Spirit, or be ye being filled consistently, continually being filled with the Spirit of God. By speaking to ourselves, by offering those psalms, by offering those hymns, by offering what? Spiritual songs. Well, what does that mean? That means you sing Psalm 151. There's only 150 psalms in the psalms, you know. But Psalm 151, you get to sing. Hallelujah, amen. And you get to bless the Lord. And you can begin to make a melody in your heart to him. Glory to God forever. And it says here, melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. How are we to give thanks? Always, right? All the time. Have you ever read Psalm 34? It said, well, bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in my mouth. And so there is a time to give praise to the Lord, and it's all the time. It's always a good time to bless the Lord. But we're thinking about this week here. And so as we do that, as we give thanks in our own private time, as we develop an attitude of gratitude to the Lord. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I remember one day I was a little bit just down, just something what didn't seem right. And I didn't know what's going on. Now, I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because I think it's good. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, what's going on? Why? It just doesn't seem quite right here. And he said, you need an attitude adjustment. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I adjust my attitude right now. How many know, anybody here ever had an attitude adjustment? You know, your mother or father said, adjust your attitude right now or else, right? Or else, you know, and we know what the else is. You know, you're going to go pick out a stick out there and I'm going to give you an attitude to adjust to. So, hallelujah. But God helps us and I begin to adjust my attitude. That's okay. He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No. That's not what he said, is it? Rejoice in the Lord what? Always. Again, I say rejoice. And as I began to adjust my attitude, I allowed myself to rejoice in my heart to the Lord. I said, yes, Lord. I'm happy to be here. Whatever it is you have me to do, Lord, I am thankful. I thank you, Father, for the work that you give me to do. I thank you, Father, for the family that you've given me to be in. I thank you for my church family too, Lord, and the family of believers that you have given me, that I can pray with and pray for and encourage and be strengthened by. Father, I give you thanks. And suddenly, his presence comes. My attitude was adjusted in a moment of time. And it doesn't take long, but it is important that we continue that attitude toward him, amen, of worship, of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, what? People that are unthankful, people will be unholy. Amen. That's not good, is it? We want to be thankful and holy in an unthankful and an unholy generation that seems to be rising up from the spirit of the world. Now we'll talk more about that sometime, but because, you know, we were talking about how crazy some things are becoming, but it's all in the Bible. Jesus mentioned it and some of the words that are there. I mean, these are almost saying it's like it's moronic. These people are not even, you know, it doesn't make any sense to the natural mind. And we know that many things that people say are not scientific, nor are they godly. Amen. They're neither one. They're not science. They're not God. And they're not even true. They're just thoughts and things that they've made up with their own imagination and with the deceit of the enemy. Why? Because sometimes when we lose a thankful heart, see, in the world used to be, people at least acknowledge God. He's there. They acknowledge him. Say, yeah, God's available, you know, and if I want him sometime, I might grab him. But, you know, we've lost some of that. The church has lost its influence into society in many ways. And we've exchanged that and allowed the lies of the enemy in. But that can change as we, what? Spend time with him and we continue to keep ourselves ready. Because even though the world gets darker, the church is going to get brighter, and the glory of God is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Can you believe him with me tonight? Be a thankful generation. Be a thankful people. Let's give him Thanksgiving, this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, this weekend. Let's worship him. We give that emphasis. Of course, we can be thankful every day, but this is a time when we look to God. We say, Lord, thank you for the harvest. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for what you've given me. And let our hearts arise and continually what bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. So how many are going to keep worshiping him and giving him thanksgiving in spirit and in truth? And I've got some things. I could go on with some things, but we'll see. Sunday we're going to have some more Thanksgiving. I've got some of my favorite psalms that I like to read. But before we go, I like to read Psalm 150 anyway. How many read that psalm? I know some of you probably memorized it. I remember when I was in Sunday school, mother made my sister and I read it. We'd have a little time of every Sunday. We'd gather for about 15 minutes and have some courses. And then you're dismissed to your Sunday school class. But during that time, the kids would get up, you know, and somebody would sing a special song or play their instrument or something of that nature. And my mother would have us read a scripture. So we would read this psalm. And not every time, but I mean, we did read the psalms a few times. And Psalm 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that we have looked and strengthened ourselves, Lord, according to your word, that we can worship you and offer thanksgiving and praise to you from our heart, right out of our spirit, Lord. Thank you for making your home in us, for being our very own Father, that we can be your very own sons and daughters and give you glory. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for inhabiting the praises of your people. Thank you for stilling the voices of the enemy, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we can continually be filled with your Spirit as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and give glory unto you, Lord. We'll give you praise and honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.